Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like pride. Hello, hello, hello.
Kisho, kisho, kisho.
Oh my God, happy pride,
happy
sister.
Pride.
How are all you whites doing out there celebrating pride?
Nice.
No, I'm just kidding. Is it still June? I don't even know when this is going to come out.
I think
wow,
so.
Pride was such a great June.
It
what
was
a great
amazing.
Month. Don't remember, gay people, don't remember. Don't forget, gay people exist all year round, y'all.
Y cagan y beben de la misma manera.
You know what's great? In Las Vegas, they do Pride in October because they know it's too damn hot right now.
Yeah.
So that's smart. So come to Vegas in October and celebrate with all your favorite ghouls.
Ay, 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 ay.
How are you?
I want to talk about what you're eating.
Oh, well, right now, well, if you listened last week, you know we did it. We're doing a back-to-back Guara Guara La Cuchara episode and where we talk about whatever. And so I just took a little break, and I decided to get some Doritos, spicy nacho, and an orange Gatorade, because I got to, you know, keep my electrolytes up. I got to get my energy up.
Remember my cousin Chelis in Juarez?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so shout out to her, because she just sent my sister, but I'm eating them, this bag of Doritos Diablos from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about this. I don't know if in the podcast, but I know you made art about this.
Mm-hmm.
The variety of Doritos, la variedad de Doritos alrededor del mundo.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking incredible. Back in the day, they had this Doritos Impulsivo. Bitch.
What is that?
I don't know. Like, I don't, like, it was just spicy, so amazing. And you cannot find it anywhere. So the new version of Doritos Impulsivo are Diablo. And that's the shit that we're eating right now. And it is amazing.
They're not the same. These are like the toned down version of them.
Yeah, the spicy here in the States is not the same as like in Mexico.
And you know, I've had Doritos from across the world. So I
get into
anywhere, anytime I travel anywhere, I get Doritos. And now my friends that are world travelers will buy Doritos and bring them for me.
Te los manda.
Shout out to Christy, one of the Gordita Supremes.
Who travels the world.
She literally travels the world. She's a flight attendant. And she was just in South Africa, and she brought me back Doritos.
¿Y qué tal?
They were fine. They were a little sweet. They weren't that spicy. But
oh, yeah, they cater to the British.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, British people, y'all, your Doritos are trash. They're so bad.
Oh, you had Doritos in United Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime I go to London,
hair flip. La otra.
You know what? I couldn't find Doritos in Germany.
What?
I didn't find any.
They're lacking.
Well, I just didn't go to any grocery stores, I guess. But
I'm sure they have them.
They have them somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I couldn't find in anywhere in Chicago except for one store? So, I mean, it's not Doritos, but they're called Rancheritos.
Oh, my God. The round ones?
No, no, no. Those are pizzerolas.
Oh, okay.
No, they're square. They're just called Rancheritos. It's like a chipotle taste.
Mm.
It's like a Dorito spicy with chipotle. I don't know. It's fucking good, but I cannot find them anywhere.
So listen. So
yes, Linda?
I started this obsession. Oh, you mentioned it in Pat's episode. When I was in Puebla, Mexico, like 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know when I went. And I'd collected all the Doritos that I could find because they had so many varieties.
So many.
They had the 3Ds. They had the roulette. Do you know the roulette
one? I never had them.
But you know what it is? You know the concept? So the roulette, Doritos roulette out there it's a regular Doritos bag.
Yeah.
But then they've put in randomly like 3 or 4 that are hella spicy, like too spicy.
So it's like a Russian roulette.
So it's like Russian roulette. So you're supposed to pass the bag around and see who gets. If you pay attention, though, here's a hot tip. The seasoning is a little different.
So you can
tell. So you can kind of tell. There's like a little green fleck in it.
Well, then you just have to reach without looking.
Yeah, that's why. You have to not look. But it's pretty similar.
That's so fucked up, though.
You have to really pay attention. It's fun. Pizzerolas are also really good.
Yeah.
The pizzerola flavor.
It's amazing.
The Dorito flavor is really awesome. Yeah. So
I don't buy Doritos because if I buy a big bag,
you eat them all.
Me las como todas. Entonces, lo que, and the same thing, I wanted Rancherito so bad and I finally found them. And I was like, nope, I'm going to eat them.
Yo.
And I kept thinking about it. I went to this like small store in Pilsen and I asked the guy, and the guys, they're Greek. And she's like, and he's like, I'm going to buy them for you so you can have them. I'm like, don't buy them because I'm going to be buying them all the time. And finally, like, fuck it, I'm going to get a big bag. Me duró, güey, como dos horas. Me las acabé todas las pinches.
Wow.
Las pinches rancheritos. So I stay away. And Doritos the same. But when I go to my sister's house, I go directly to the kitchen because she always has fucking Doritos. Oh, so good.
Yo, they're a staple in my house too and my family's homes. So listen to this. I shouldn't say it because I'm just going to be a hypocrite like 2 months from now. But I'm cutting back on eating chips because...
This is dangerous.
No, bitch, listen to me. So since 4 years ago,
yeah,
this is why people, I'm trying to tell you, okay, when you come to my house, I've actually had a lot of friends come to my house and I think they understand me
right
better when I say this. Like, I'm not a hoarder. I'm literally collecting things to make art out of things. So right. I'm not just collecting trash.
It's not personal.
I'm collecting materials.
Yes.
Okay?
You're all about material culture. Yes.
Yes. So I have been collecting every Doritos bag from every Doritos that I have consumed since four mm-hmm. or 5 years ago.
Right.
So I have hundreds at this point. Maybe not hundreds, scores of right. Doritos bags. No, probably around 100 Doritos bags right. from around the world. And so I've been thinking, and so what I do, don't get grossed out, everybody. I could hear some people being grossed out. I eat the Doritos, obviously. Obvio.
Yeah.
And I cut them, and then I cut the bags, so I fillet them open, basically.
Yeah.
So they're like a big rectangle, and then I clean it. Like, I wash the inside so that there's no grease on them. Yeah. And then I fold them up and I just put them in a box. So I just have these, like, neat folded packs, okay? It's not like there's, like, dirty Doritos bags in my room, okay? And so I'm making an art piece with them. And
at some point. Oh, you already know what
I've
it is.
I've already started making it.
Oh, nice.
And so I learned how to sew recently.
Is it a quilt, bitch?
I'm making a quilt.
No!
I mean, it's not really a quilt. It's just, like... a patchwork, because it's not going to have...
But I get it.
It's not going to have, like, padding in the middle. It's just going to be one side. It's just going to be with Doritos bags. And so...
So comforting.
And so, I'm going to make them the size of my bed so that I can actually, like, put it on my bed. That's going to be the size of it. And I have a queen-size mattress, so it's going to be... A Doritos quilt for a queen.
You gotta share that with the world once it's ready.
I will, but right now it's just kind of a personal project. I don't know if I'll ever show it, but so I've collected Doritos bags, and I think a year ago I just started collecting every package from any processed food that is chip related.
Mm-hmm.
So I also have every single package of chip bag that I've collected. So I'm making, so I'm going to make a Doritos quilt, strictly Doritos.
Yeah.
As a commentary, again, like I talked about last week with the globalization of Mexican culture, you know?
Right.
And like, because Doritos is kind of along the same line as this like Tex-Mex, you know, American food that people think is like Mexican.
Yeah. And our perceptions of Mexican
food. Yeah, so there's going to be a Doritos quilt. There's going to be a Guatemala quilt with all the chips me and Gabby, my cousin Gabby, ate in Guatemala.
Damn.
And then there's going to be just a chips
quilt,
processed food quilt.
So does this have to be food that, bags that you eat or like people are sending you and stuff?
No, these are the Doritos. Some of the Doritos is just...
Oh, la Cristi te mando.
Because some people send me... shout out to T, my friend. He brought me a bag from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So I even have a Doritos bag from Japan.
Jesus Christ.
So there's a Doritos quilt. That will be food Doritos that I've eaten personally and collected and people have sent me. The Guatemala quilt. Because, you know, quilts are... A lot of people do quilts based on memory or
right.
like in commemoration of someone or an event or something.
It's part of that category of material culture. People say it's folk art.
Yeah. So it's like a... I saved all the chips that me and Gabby ate
in Guatemala.
And then the other bag is almost like a... the other quilt is like a documentation of all the shit that I'm eating, which is really disgusting. That quilt, and I think that quilt is just going to be ongoing. Like, I'm just going to keep adding to it.
Damn.
So
I like that.
Just to show how disgust, like,
it's an extension of your videos. Your,
it's so crazy how much fucking bags we use.
Yeah.
And I'm not even like an environmental bitch like that. Like, I don't really give a shit. Like, I'm gonna die in a couple years, so it's like,
we all gonna die in a couple
all
years
die. So, but yo, like, this is like mylar. These bags are gonna last like 500 right. years at least, right?
That's fucking,
and they're just
amazing.
Like floating around. So I think that's interesting. I might show it somewhere someday. I like having this project, and it doesn't look like the regular shit that I make. So that's also really exciting.
But it makes sense. It's an extension of what you work. I mean, it doesn't look like that, but it's an extension of what you do.
And I love sewing. And
you do?
I love it. I feel like a grandma when I do it. It just feels so empowering right. to be able to use this machine. And like, I was just so afraid of using it because I just didn't know how to use it. And I'm like, wait, I could just Google this. And so
there's a YouTube for everything.
Well, shout out to my friend Amanda Browder, who's this amazing artist that like covers buildings and fabric.
Yeah.
And so I went to a couple of her workshops and learn. And then one of my friends came to visit me a few months ago from Portland, Maine. Mm-hmm. And they make quilts. They're a quilter. Uh-huh. So they taught me how to use, shout out to Justin. They taught me how to use the machine that I have at the house. Because, of course, I have a sewing machine. Because I didn't throw it away, even though I wasn't using it. Because I'm not a hoarder. I just know that I'm going to use the things eventually.
And you
know
always
what I
do.
Mean?
You always,
and
I've
always
seen it.
Do.
I've seen your room, and you it end up
Yo,
in the museum.
That show at the Barrack Museum of Art at UNLV.
You use everything. So your room is fucking clean.
Bitch,
I bet.
I use so much. I use so much of it. So it's been really great just kind of like working on my own stuff. Why are we talking about that? Oh, because of Doritos.
Because you're eating Doritos, yes.
And so I actually have been cutting back on buying shit that has that kind of packaging.
Yeah.
Just because I see how much I consume.
Right. It's a thing. I try really hard. Two of my favorite things are Doritos and Coke. Coca-Cola. And there was one day where I had to decide because I remember going to school full-time and working full-time when I was an undergrad.
Yeah.
So it was leaving my house at 8 and coming back home at 11 p.m. Like that every fucking day.
Yeah.
And what kept me alive, it was Doritos, Pepsis, and coffee. And it got to a point where
Pepsi,
like,
Pepsi, get out of the studio.
Tiene un chingo de cafeína y azúcar.
Yeah, you're right.
¿Qué ibas a decir?
Shout out. I just want to give a big shout out to the East Las Vegas Library.
Yes.
We are recording right now. In a badass recording studio.
And it's a gorgeous library.
Padded for the gods. Yeah. Okay. This shit is padded like Jujubee. Okay. Yeah. Like, the facilities here are incredible.
Yeah.
They have like a whole DJ setup. Like, I don't know the words.
You can learn anything.
It.
Yeah.
If you want to mix your own music, record. I guess so. This, what we're in right now is like the recording studio.
And they have a green screen right
out
there. Yeah. It's crazy.
So you can do YouTube videos out there. And like, a lot of kids are recording their own original music in here.
That's so cool.
So I think in the afternoon, we have to leave soon because there's going to be these kids that have started a rap group that are coming in here to lay down some tracks. Isn't
That's
that cool?
That's beautiful. That's fucking beautiful.
Oh my God. And this is in my old hood, y'all. Like, on 28th Street on the east side. Like, what a fucking cool
thing. It is
cool.
It is a beautiful
thing. To have this here. I like to remain positive, but, you know, we're also critical. But I also want to mention that they did close down the downtown Las Vegas library and built this. So you're not off the hook, Las Vegas Library District. Like, y'all shut down a whole ass library
to open another one
near Cashman Center to open this one. So, yes, thank you for this. But what happens to all the people downtown in the hood over there that lost their library? Where is their library?
But it also goes to show you, like, there's so little money for like shed for the community. They're building a fucking stadium for the Raiders.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're building how many billions of dollars on that fucking stadium?
Several billions.
Yeah. No. Anyway, shout out to Las Vegas Library. Thank you for having us here.
Perfect.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it'll be my recommendation because, girl, this has been okay. It's library related. Okay.
Write it down, girl.
I know. I'll write it down. Well, let's take a little break and then come back and we can talk about bullshit again.
Let's do
okay,
it.
Okay, great. Today's episode is brought to you by the original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn.
La semana pasada no había ido, pero ya fui.
¿Y qué comiste?
Güey, las carnitas, lo de siempre. Es que esas carnitas con Coca-Cola, yo no sé qué les echan aparte de Coca-Cola. Dude.
Those are bomb. I mean, I'm a vegan, so I don't know what they taste like, but I can smell them and they smell fantastic. Yo, they're really good.
Yeah, I think, is that a family recipe? It's just for the restaurant?
Yeah, everything's a family recipe.
Beautiful.
Javier Barajas, the founder, the owner of Lindo Michoacán, he was taught by nuns how to cook, according to the legend.
In Morelia, in el Centro Histórico de Puebla.
No, in Morelia.
In Morelia. Ah, that's what I meant, yeah.
In Michoacán.
La autenticidad.
And so all those recipes are passed down from the nuns, you know, they would get their Coca-Colas back in the day. And
since the 16th century.
Since the 16th, Juan Inés was there teaching Javier how to make...
Con su slave.
teaching Javier how to make that fideo, girl. So...
Well, whatever they did it right, because that shit is
iconic. Lindo Michoacán is iconic. Y'all, if you haven't been to the original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn, please
get your shit together.
Yeah, put your shit together.
And it's not just us. We have so many listeners tagging us, and they're like, yes, that food here is bomb. So we're not bullshitting you when we say it's amazing.
Okay, can I say something?
Say it, girl.
Okay, no shade, but shade. Right? That's the theme of the fucking show. I get it now. Okay, I get it.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been all over the Southwest, and people always take me to. Like the best Mexican restaurant. Like
on the combo plate.
And I didn't get why people go wild over Lindo Michoacán until I had like the equivalent of Lindo Michoacán in different cities in different cities in Texas, you know? Uh-huh. After having, you know, these like iconic, these meals at these iconic places.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, it does not. It actually does not compare.
You're like
to
neta,
Lindo Michoacán.
Neta,
neta del planeta. O sea, so anyway, I just went off on a tangent there. Lindo Michoacán is awesome, and it's offering all of our listeners 25% off
Cabrón.
Their meal. So just say, hey, I'm a Latinos Who Lunch listener. And they should be like, oh, wonderful. Well, you get the Latinos Who Lunch discount.
And tip your waitress or waiter well. Hashtag no seamos envidiosos, como dice la coma.
I know. They only have servers there that are men, which is interesting. Maybe we can interview Javier and Stephanie about that. Anyway. yeah. Lindo Michoacán. Save water.
Drink margaritas.
And we're back.
So not too long ago, I saw some epic motherfucking pictures, videos.
Oh.
Of some. I'm going to say it was a quinceañera, but I have no idea. Can you tell me more about it?
Yo. Okay. Listen, Linda, listen. So my grandma told me a long time ago, she's like, Justin, I'm just going to be honest with you. We're from a place in Mexico called Carreras Durango, right? Carreras, if you don't know where that is, and if you're a Duranguense and you know exactly where it is, what up, paisano? So anyway, Durango, Mexico is pretty north, and it's like high desert.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, actually a lot of the Western bullshit that you're watching right now,
it was
shot in the high desert of Durango, Mexico.
Right?
So we fucking love John Wayne. Everybody in Durango loves John Wayne because he was like always
really?
There. That's where they filmed a lot of them.
That's fucking interesting. Yeah. A whole nother thing. Okay.
Anyway, people from Durango are known, especially from Carreras, are known for being party animals. And we're also known for being, I'm just going to say it, and if there's family listening, whatever.
Lo siento.
I'm sorry. They're show-offs. Like, they like to show off.
Yeah.
And they like to one-up each other.
Right.
So when it comes to weddings, when it comes to quinces, that is the perfect opportunity.
The more extra.
That is the perfect opportunity to show up and show out. Okay? And this isn't a negative thing. I love this.
No.
Because
I mean,
my family,
part of the culture.
I will say, my family, shout out to the favelas in Las Vegas, they know how to party. And I see it as love, you know, like anytime there's a little get together, it can't be a little, you know, even if they try, even if it's like somebody's birthday, she's like, ay, sí, comadre, we're just going to do un pastelito que no sé qué. And we show up to the house and there's a fucking mariachi.
Fireworks.
Like somebody shooting guns in the backyard. Like there's somebody killing a chicken. You know, like we just can't just do regular shit.
Right.
We can't. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about? You want a birthday at Chuck E. Cheese? Are you kidding? We're going to bring a whole fucking banda. You know what I mean?
Like, you're going to bring the whole, like the robots of Chuck E. Cheese to your actual house.
Right. Like, oh, you want Chuck E. Cheese? Oh, I got you.
I'll bring you Chuck E. Cheese.
Y'all might remember my cousin Aliyah and Angelito from the episode a while back called The Youths that we did with them. And they were so cute and little. And now Aliyah's 15 years old, a grown woman. And so I actually flew back from Houston early so that I could make it, because my art opening was supposed to be on the day of her quince, but they moved it up one day so I could leave.
Pues sí.
I know, because this is epic. And so I had made the piñata for her birthday, for the quinceañera, a couple weeks before I left. So it was already done. And so that was the first thing that I found out. Aliyah contacted me months ago because she's already a responsible adult and knows that I'm busy as fuck.
Yeah.
So she was like, Justin, I want you to make my final piñata.
And you will always be the person that made her quinceañera piñata. Like, that's fucking huge.
I know. Well, now, because I made this one, everybody's like, ay, Justin, maybe you can. I'm like, oh, here we go. No shade. I'm not making nobody else's piñata. Like, Aliyah's my fucking favorite cousin. I'm not going to make it for anybody else. Okay, so Aliyah is an incredible girl, and she is, you know what? It just shows you good parenting. Shout out to my tío Ángel and my tía Lili. They are the amazing. They're the most amazing parents
super educados,
ever.
Yeah.
The kids are just so well-behaved.
Right.
And, I mean, not even that. They're just so smart and just like, again, I don't mean to be offensive, but these kids, they were raised very well off.
Right.
Like they have a really great life because their parents fucking bust their ass. Like my tia Lily works at a casino. My tio Angel runs a mini market. You know what I mean? And they have a beautiful home. And I guess I've never seen kids grow up in that nice of an environment with two loving parents, but then to also have street smarts. Like, these kids have street smarts.
And that's because they spend a lot of time in Mexico.
Because they go to Mexico and their parents show them the real world.
Right.
Because they know where they came from. Yeah. And that is so important. Like, my uncle has them in the mini market in North Las Vegas, you know, like in
a
the
trabajar
hood.
Como
right?
Se debe.
You know?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So I love that. I love that about them. So there's no one in the world that deserves a quince like the one that I saw for her, like this past weekend than Aliyah. She deserves. Right. So I wasn't mad. You know, usually I roll my eyes at shit like this, but I'm like, yes, she deserves.
Dude.
And let me tell you what these motherfuckers did, okay?
Dude, what happened to quinceañeras?
It was wild. I thought I was on an episode of, you remember that show, My Super Sweet 16?
Yes.
It was like that, okay?
Oh, my God.
So I show up, and I'm like, I'm dressed in my, I just wear all black usually for everything. So I just like, I'm like, I got to put a suit on. Like, I can't just show up in my skeleton
in
shirt
your uniform,
for this,
yeah.
My uniform. So I put a suit on, all black, and I bought it for quinces and funerals. So, so exciting. And so,
y bodas, wait,
oh yeah, weddings. I try not to go to weddings. So I show up to the venue, and it is this gorgeous venue, and they had set up a giant like gazebo in the center of these two big spiral staircases that go to a second floor.
What is
this?
And
then behind it, it's by the airport. It's like this big venue by the airport here in Las Vegas. And there's a big LED screen or LCD, whatever screen behind, at least 20 feet tall. It was like a giant sign.
Yeah.
And it just had Aliyah's portrait on it.
No!
Giant.
Oh, my God.
And you walk in and you walk in, you sat down, and then the court was at least 15 kids. So quinceañeras, I mean, you all should know what a quince is, but like, you know, and like kind of like groomsmen and bridesmaids, there's a court and there's at least 15 kids.
It's like supposed to be 14 de cada lado because the quinceañera makes it 15.
Oh, well, that's what it was.
Yeah.
There was 14 on each side.
Yeah.
I feel like there was more. I think there was 14 regular kids.
Right.
And then there was all these like little girls dressed as fairies because it was enchanted forest themed. So there was a lot of
course,
greenery yeah. and gold.
¿De qué color era su vestido?
Everywhere. Her dress, oh my God, great question. It was like a beautiful like cream colored dress, like I feel like it had like hues of pink here and there, but yeah. it was just like, it was very elegant.
Nice.
And it was very like poofy. It was awesome.
Oh.
And so, yeah, they both, they came down the stairs choreographed and there was live piano, live singing because my tia Lily's family is so talented. The whole family's like musicians.
Oh my God.
So there was live music.
Uh-huh.
So somebody was singing this beautiful song. Her tía, I believe, and then somebody was playing the piano.
¿Y cuál canción era, güey?
Una de los Bukis, no me acuerdo. No, I don't know.
Quiero llorar.
No, they're really religious, so it was some
bendito, bendito.
No, it was beautiful. And then they did the service. Uh-huh. So they actually did a religious service, and yo, I'm not going to lie. I was triggered because their pastor, Elias' pastor, mm-hmm. They go to a traditional like Christian like Latino church.
Yeah.
And
he was gay.
No, her uncle is the preacher there. So he did the service. But the one thing that bothers me about a lot of pastors is the way that they yell into the microphone, like, and for like a quinceañera, like I feel like it should be softer,
right?
It's just so violent to me, like hermanos y hermanas, you know, like abran sus biblias. I'm like, oh my God, calm the fuck down, porque la sangre de Cristo, you know how they do that shit. I'm like, you don't need to do all that, like
not calm, in a quinceañera. That's what,
he wasn't that wild, but he had that cadence that like, so I had to just like shut off because I was like, I'm not gonna be mad, I'm just gonna like. And if y'all don't know, I was raised in that environment, and so I'm out of that now, and I try not to go back to
right, it. Right.
Even when I watched Vida, did you see that? Did you get far enough into Vida?
I'm like in episode 5, yeah.
There's a part that triggered, okay?
I've been to one of those services, and it was my grandma's funeral. My grandma wanted a Catholic funeral, so my aunt is like, no way, I am Christian, I'm going to have like this Christian thing. So the pastor did this whole thing, and according to their tradition, I don't know if different churches are different, le das la mano, saludas al pastor before you leave. My aunt was so mad that they didn't get a Catholic service. So when she went to extend her hand to say hi, to say goodbye to the priest, boom, slap him in the hands.
No.
And then my friend outside, she goes, oh my God, tu tía está jugando las manitas calientes con el pastor. It was so good.
Gloria a Dios, aleluya.
Amen.
Okay, so so that happened. But, you know, even his words were beautiful. Yeah. I just wish they weren't so violent. So, like, the cadence, you know, like,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
what, I'm
talking,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about, right? Like,
it's like this preaching like style. Yeah, yeah.
Girl, we're just, you know, we're here to celebrate. It's a birthday.
Right.
I don't know. But it was beautiful and everybody looked so elegant. And the grown-ups, they all wore emerald green. Mm-hmm. So like the padrino, her padrinos and...
Hijo su madre.
It was elegancia, bitch, de Francia, okay? And so then there was a cocktail hour after that. Open bar, okay?
Valió madres.
White people take notes. Open bar, all right? And then, so we just, that's when everybody, you know, said hello, 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 whatever. The mariachi came out. All these young kids, they were like teenagers, came out and did a full mariachi set, like mm-hmm. on the stairs as like the entertainment. It was beautiful. I wonder where they found them. They looked really good. They looked really sharp. They had like beautiful blue suits on. So we had a cocktail hour kind of thing. There was like cheese and meats being passed around and fruit. It was like very nice, very official. So then everybody goes upstairs. But because I knew the quinceañera, so the hall.
You went backstage.
The hall was upstairs. So I went upstairs just to take a peek, okay? Uh-huh. And I took a peek of the salon and bitch, It looked like Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh,
like
my
that
God.
Wedding in there. What is going on there? And shout out.
Con cisnes y la chingada.
shout out to my family. Shout out to Rosa Corral and her company, Bianca's Event Decor, because they turned it the fuck out for this quinceañera. So they are paisanos. They're from Mexico. If you're in Las Vegas and you need legit decorations, let Bianca's Event Decor know. Google them, locas.
Go to latinaswholunch.com. The link will be in the show notes.
Tell them we sent you.
Yes.
There was trees growing out of every table, girl. There was vines coming from the ceilings. There was a gazebo, like, lit up with the chandelier.
A Saturday Night Live fucking pista de baile.
There was a pista. Saturday Night Fever. Yeah. It was lit up. I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And there was, like, a wall of that said Alia, and it had all the desserts, like the cake. And okay, listen. Oof. Okay, so then. But then my cousin was like, oh, no, we're over here. And so it was a big salon, right? Mm-hmm. It was a big banquet hall.
Yeah.
And you know how the hallways are just like usually lined, mm-hmm. and there's another banquet on the other side usually? No, this place is perfect. This is a commercial for this place too, but I don't know what it's called. It's lined with hotel suites.
What?
So you could just party and then you can get a hotel room and just crash in the hotel room.
What?
So I just went and I hung out like in the backstage, you know, was all hotel suites. It was beautiful.
Oh my God.
So at this point, I'm already these motherfuckers have spent more on this part of the quinceañera than my entire education. Think about it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, this is incredible. And so, I don't know, my uncle's also really connected, so I know that motherfucker got deals, okay? But
You gotta do what you gotta do.
They've been saving for this since Talia was born.
That's how it is. Like,
because she is, not only she's an amazing human, we're all boys except primos hermanos. They're all boys except for my cousin Isabel and Aaliyah. Uh-huh. So Isabel already had hers, and now Aaliyah is like, she's the little one.
Right.
She's the baby. So of course they're going to go off for this.
But you gotta say, my sister went to a quinceañera. My niece, bitch.
They're saving for it. They're like, fuck a college.
No,
fund.
My sister is like, ¿quieres quinceañera? And Joseph's like, no. And she's like, okay, I'm going to ask one more time after the quinceañera was over, because my sister is like, a la Josie, she likes attention, right?
Yeah.
And ask her again, you want a quinceañera? Because I'm going to start saving right now. She's four.
Yeah, you got to.
She's five.
OCD's knows. What's up? She's planning.
That's so crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
My dad, when he said the quinceañera for my sister, he didn't do his taxes for like 2 years and then did them all together so he can get a big chunk of money back and able to do it. It's just like people know that this is like,
wow,
a thing. It's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. You don't have to, but I mean, when you're from Durango, you got to.
From Carreras.
Yeah. So shout out to Carreras. I need to go back. I was just on my cousin Joely's podcast, La Llave. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I've been on it.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
I know. I just recorded an episode with her, so mm-hmm. I think it might already be out if mm-hmm. you want to listen to it. And we talked about going back together, because I haven't been back in over 10 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and she goes back every year.
That's going to be
every
a trip.
Year. I love it there. It's so. I used to go when I was little all the time. But then my dad moved there, so bummer. Okay. anyway. Oh, shout out to my cousin because he's got my back. I love him so much. He's the closest in age to me.
Yeah.
That's how people just introduce me to everybody, because I don't look like a lot of people in my family. Mm-hmm. So they're like, people came from all over the world to this fucking quinceañera. And by all over the world, I mean they came from Mexico, LA, and Chicago. that's where my family all kind of lives. And some from Texas, actually. And so my grandma would be like, they would come up to me, like these dudes, these like 50-something-year-old men and their wives, you know, like, hey. And they'd shake my hand, ¿cómo estás, primo? And I'm like, And I didn't know who they were, and they didn't know who I was either. And they're like, oh, es el hijo de... You know, because that's my dad's name. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's my dad. Yeah, here, yeah. Shake my hand, whatever. And then finally, my cousin is like, yeah, that's his dad, who he hasn't seen in over 10 years because he ain't shit. And I'm like, oh, my God, shut up. But I got my life.
Y tu abuela sentada, ¿no? Just waiting for everybody to say hi to her, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, my grandma's the best. My grandma was in the back stealing cookies. I'm like, grandma, you could just ask. Okay, so wait, where was I? Okay, let me just, okay.
Empieza el baile, okay.
Okay, so we get into the venue. There's an extensive seating chart. So you have to look for your name, uh-huh. And then there's ushers that take you to your table.
No!
Shout out to Table 24, the best table. The best table at the Quince.
Yeah.
I had the best table in the house. Uh-huh. We were right next to the dance floor.
Yeah.
And we sit down. There was already salad and bread waiting for us. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to wait for La Oración, but fuck it. We just started eating. That's not my ministry. So I started eating, and they did a prayer, this really beautiful prayer, and then they started bringing the food out, and it was a full catered event. It was, you know, chicken or fish. And I think most people eat chicken, obviously. And it was delicious. And we proceeded to get drunk as fuck, our table. Well, I did anyway. I was there from 5 p.m.
to like
4:30, excuse me, mm-hmm. 4:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m.
Hijo de la chingada.
I got drunk and high a couple times and sobered up.
And then did
three
it
times over. Oh. So I was like drunk, and then I'm like, oh, I'm too drunk. I don't want to make a fool of myself.
Yeah.
Drink water, calm down, walk around. Okay, I'm fine again. And then I would proceed to get drunk again. It was a journey.
You sound like me in fucking a music festival.
Shout out to Bobby. Shout out to Hector. They're my cousins that were hooking it up with drinks, so I didn't look like such an alcoholic. Yeah, I'm like, yo, go give me another tequila sunrise. Hurry before they stop giving them out for free. No, so it was good. And before they run out, really. Okay, so then the performances started.
Uh-huh.
So y'all know that quinceañeras, again, are also a performance at the baile, at the dance,
right,
at the reception.
Pero empieza con el vals, ¿no?
So it started with the waltz, right? And the first waltz was...
Tiempo de vals.
It was the father-daughter waltz. So,
oh, shit.
Aaliyah came out in her beautiful dress looking like Mexican Cinderella, okay? Yeah. And I never seen this before, but maybe you have. She sat in her chair.
Mm-hmm.
She sat in a chair. This was odd to me, but whatever.
I mean, the whole thing is fucking weird.
She sat in her chair,
yeah.
On this beautiful chair in the middle of the dance floor.
Yeah.
And my tío took her shoes off and then put high heels on her. So it was like... From child, so she had these little kitten heels on, and she went like straight up Cardi B, like just put on these big heels on, and then,
la simbología.
Yeah, and then her and her brother,
right.
My tío and her little brother did it, and then they danced the waltz, and it was live music again because. You know,
of course, you have
live
to.
Singing.
Con todo un cuarteto de violines y la verga.
Her tía and her tío were live singing. And shout out to them. They have beautiful voices. And all of a sudden, at the climax of the fucking song, right? Fireworks. A fog machine is rolled out. They're like floating on fog.
Yeah.
People were handed butterflies on rods, on like strings that lit up. So people started waving butterflies around. So like there was like glowing butterflies. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, crazy Rich Asians, it fucked up the game. Like, people got so many ideas from that movie.
It looked like a Taylor Swift fucking concert. Like a...
Yo.
Like a Coldplay concert.
Don't talk about Taylor Swift. Don't compare.
Sorry. We're going to erase this part of the...
fucking trash.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, and then all of a sudden, pyro, bitch. Pyro.
What?
Fireworks. came out around the dance floor. It was so... I put that on my Instagram. It was so...
Yeah, that's a video that I saw.
Good. It was so good. Okay. Then that ended. They went away. Next course, okay, of the meal. And then they come back out, and it's her and the entire party. And I'm like, oh, this is the waltz with everybody from the court.
Mm-hmm.
I also missed the part where they announce everybody one by one as they're walking into the room. Like they do an announcement.
Dios mío, ¿cuánto duró esta parte?
I was like, are we at the Latino graduation? Because it feels like we're at a graduation. Like this shit is never gonna end.
No shit, you know that those graduations are fast because they have to tell the name of like 2,500 kids like in 2 hours. So yeah. I'm sure
they're
was.
Probably just like, okay, the Rodriguezes, get in line. Everybody here is Rodriguez, right?
Okay. Los Lopez's.
Garcias, you're next. So listen. So then, oh my God. So then, I love whoever. I haven't been able to hang out with my fam or talk to them, but whoever choreographed this, A, had to be gay, and second, because it was so on point, and second, it was so
Beyonce's choreographer.
Girl, this was some Cirque du Soleil shit. This
some homecoming shit.
It was incredible. It was fabric. It was a choreographed dance with fabric.
What?
I don't know exactly what the.
How long did they practice?
What the? Okay, and this is the real gag, and this is why Aaliyah is the fucking best. Usually it's like everybody kind of dances together. She's like, nobody's going to dance. Y'all are just going to do choreography with the fabric to make me look awesome.
Like waves.
So listen, so she walks into the, she walks back into the venue and stands in the middle of the dance floor. Yeah. And then these fools come out with fabric, like all the court.
Uh-huh.
And they put, and they lay the fabric down. Think of it like as a hashtag, mm-hmm. but a bunch of fabric, like tic-tac-toe, like around her, and she's right in the middle square. And then all the little fairy girls come out, and they dust petals everywhere.
Shut the fuck
right?
up.
And so then the song starts, and she's just kind of going back and forth with her, with the, ¿cómo se llama the main guy?
El chambelán.
El chambelán. And then, so they're just like regular dancing, and then she's by herself. And then they grab the, then all the party comes out. They grab the fabric and they lift it up. And all the petals fly up.
Ay, qué bonito.
And then they rotate. And so all this fabric rotating around her. And then they make it fly up again. And then she moves out of the way because the fabric is moving so slow.
I'm getting goosebumps, baby.
Then they change they change positions.
Uh-huh.
And they like intertwine all the fabric.
What?
So that it looks like it's like part of her. She stands back in the middle. It looks like it's part of her dress.
I can't.
It was so good. Good. That was a performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yo, like, I would have paid money to see it. You know what I mean?
Te robó el aliento.
And it ain't even over yet. Okay, so then that happens, and then that's supposed to be it, right? But everybody knows there's a val sorpresa, like a surprise waltz.
Yeah.
That's like for the kids. That's not as formal.
Yeah, es cuando el reggaeton entra.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, then there was the uncle dance. So, like, all the older cousins and all the uncles, that was also weird.
That is weird.
They get in a circle and they, like, do, like, ooh. I think we're supposed to just do, like, six steps. I went up there and did it, too. I was like, they're like, fuck they it. Called my name up there and I was like, I don't want to be up there.
I'm high.
I'm so high right now. But no. Hey, and you know what? If anybody in my family's listening to this and, like, oh my gosh, Justin, you were high at a quinceañera, guess what, Mimi? I'm a fucking adult. Smoking marijuana is legal.
And it relaxes me.
And it relaxes me. And I didn't get blacked out drunk and hit anybody because why? Because I was high as fuck, chilling, loving life.
Take note, los pinches tíos que siempre la cagan en las quinceañeras.
And I wasn't high as fuck. I was responsible. Like, I could have really been gone, but I was just like, you know, I just needed a little, you know.
Como dice Pink Floyd, comfortably numb.
Comfortably numb.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So, Jesus. Oh, my God. We got to go. Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Really quick. Then the banda comes out.
Uh-huh.
This full Norteño banda just comes out with the tuba and everything. Looking fly as fuck, by the way. They were all, like, in these beautiful gold suits.
Yeah.
They come out. They take the stage. There's a stage at the end of the banquet.
Of course.
This is all in the middle.
Yeah.
There's a stage. So they get on the stage, and the baile begins, right? So everybody starts dancing polka because that's what we do from the north. And then
he's selling los globos and all this extra shit.
Wait.
All the props.
Okay, and then they played, like a DJ came out after the first set of the banda, mm-hmm. and the DJ played like modern music, you know, and that's when all the adults got off and the kids, it's for them.
Empiezan
it's a quinceañera.
A twerquear.
Yeah, to the window, to the wall, all that shit. So then...
La twerqueada. La tuercanza.
La tuercanza de eleganza. So then... The fog starts again, and you're like, wait, what's happening? There's fog on the dance floor.
Twist. What a twist. Twist.
Oh, yeah. Plot twist. Aaliyah comes out with her little brother for the Val Sorpresa. So at the surprise vaults, and they come out looking like they're like from...
A Missy Elliott fucking video.
Boom. Adidas track suits.
Yes.
But Aaliyah still has her whole big hair and her tiara on or whatever. And they do a choreographed hip-hop dance like pros.
Yeah.
Like they were on like...
The MTV Awards.
I had no idea these kids could dance like that. Like they were dancing like they were legit backup dancers. Like on So You Think You Can Dance or whatever those fucking shows are. And they... Everybody was shocked. They were just like with their mouths open because they had so much fucking swagger, those kids. Angelito especially, like he knows it too, that fucking showboat.
Yeah.
I love him. They tore it up, both of them. Both of them. And it was like perfectly synchronized.
Of course.
Choreography.
Oh, man.
And to me, what warmed my heart was like a brother and sister. They're only like a year or two apart. So they're like a brother and sister. I can tell they spent hours, over 40 hours at least, practicing those dance moves.
That's amazing.
Together.
Shit.
Together.
Quinceañeras have gotten so motherfucking extra. I love it.
So much time.
Wasn't there a robot in the dance floor at some point and
shit? So then a robot came out after that and... Like, was dancing with... It looked like the Predator. I don't know what that had to do with Enchanted Forest.
It looked just like the one I saw in Juarez in my...
It's crazy.
La Chelis, la her quinceañera.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. That robot, same one, came out. It got the party started, you know? Like, all these kids started dancing around it. And it was really fun to watch that. And then my cousin brought out... And then they brought out... My tios brought out these huge ladders. Mm-hmm. And then they did the piñata. So they brought out the piñata that I made. And they filled them with globos. That like it was just symbolic. There wasn't really candy in it. My tia put lights inside of balloons and put it in this lantern, and then so she just like broke the cellophane and all the balloons poured out.
Y yo vieron las lucecitas.
Yeah.
Ay, güey.
And dude, that piñata, I made it really strong because I didn't know.
And la pobre madre.
The kids were trying to break it and it didn't break. So I make quality shit, y'all. That piñata didn't break. There was like
certified
50 kids trying to tear it apart and they couldn't.
Nice.
And then there was a piñata, then the banda kept playing. I mean, it was all night. It was awesome.
That's fucking beautiful.
And then that's not even it. The next day they had another party. They called it the after party. They're like, there's an after party tomorrow. At 4 p.m. And I'm like, that's not an after party.
La torna quinceañera, that's how they call it.
Yeah, that's another party.
Right.
They rented, listen to this. They rented the salon, another one. Not the same. They rented another banquet hall, the same banquet hall that her parents got married in. So they like, their parents got married in a banquet hall. Her parents spent less money on their wedding than on their girl's quinceañera.
Yeah.
The wedding was at the banquet hall. Where her parents got married. And unfortunately, I didn't make it to that because I was recovering still from the quinceañera. But, yo, my family really shows out and shows. And they even did a bus, like a party bus for all the court.
Damn, like, what the fuck?
To the venue from the, they like rode down the strip.
All of the stops, like injected with steroids.
It's wild.
That's amazing.
It's wild.
That's
amazing. I'm not even mad. I'm like, yo, you know what?
No.
She deserves. It's a wild tradition. I can't imagine what is she gonna. She better just get married at a courthouse. Like, how are you gonna? How are you gonna
even bother to try?
Yeah. Why would you even bother? Like, what are they gonna shoot you out of a cannon for your wedding? Like, what's gonna top that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Are you gonna get married on top of the in the
la Italian villa en la chingada?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. There's nothing. There's nothing else.
That's amazing. That,
it was really amazing.
Oh wow,
what a party!
Well, I'm jealous.
Oh, it was. I know people were mad because they were like. Like my friend Michaela and Lance were like, why didn't you invite us to the wedding or to the to the quince? And I'm like, they didn't ask me. They didn't even tell me.
No, like, I'm sure that invitation list was like.
It was only family.
Specific. Yeah, of course.
Because there was like 300 people there or some bullshit. It was a lot.
Only family, 300 people.
It was literally only family. Oh, we have a lot of cousins, yo. Yeah, it was great.
But I'm going to change the subject because before we go, I know you're teaching this fall, so I want you to tell me a little bit about it, and then I can tell you, and then we can go because
that's
I got to
go. Babelito's not the only professor on the podcast anymore. Professor Fabi Fav, actually, this might be good to announce this just in case there's people that go to the school that listen to this. Mm-hmm. I will be teaching two classes this fall starting in late September, I think, early October maybe, at Southern Oregon University. I am teaching printmaking and installation.
Wait, are you moving there?
I'm moving there for the fall. Fuck. Yes. So I'll be there late September through December.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so nice. Ashland, Oregon, if there's any listeners out there, for the three listeners, and if you happen to be in an art, for the three listeners that are there, and maybe you happen to be in the art. The listener that is in the art program.
That is Latino.
I think both of my classes are upper division credits. I think the printmaking is a 300 level, and then the installation course is almost like an independent study, 400 level. Mm-hmm. Please sign up for it, because I want cool students in my classes. And really, the installation class, you're going to help me make an art show, like a badass giant art show while I'm there.
Nice.
That opens at the Schneider Museum of Art. I believe it'll open in November.
And those processes are important for students because they get to see from the beginning to the end, and not only just like the actual art making, but all the negotiation and everything that goes. I still want to put a whole entire class together on your Denver art show because that shit was learning from beginning to end. It's amazing.
I learned a lot. I learned. Yeah. I keep learning. Right. Every time I do an installation, I keep learning. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I started the Art People podcast, too, is just to have very transparent conversations about how
your experiences,
of the workings of the art world.
Right.
I kind of talk about it a little bit in Carl Orozco's episode that came out a few weeks ago about, like, how do you know how much to get paid for something? How do you know? You know, nobody teaches you that shit.
No, that shit is not even
so
in grad school.
If you're listening to this and you're interested, I'm going to tell you exactly how much you deserve to get paid.
Right.
Because I know I'm getting underpaid for what I do.
Yeah.
I know. I know. I know I do. Girl, I did the math for the show that I did.
How many hours?
And no shade because I love, I'm not going to say what show. I'll just say this. Mm-hmm. For the amount of time that I spent on an art show this year compared to
how much I actually got paid. Right.
The lump sum of money that they sent me felt like a lot of money because I got it all at once.
Yeah.
But after I did the math last month,
right.
After, because y'all see, Instagram is a fool because you think like I'm having the best time ever and I am. I'm having a good time usually. But there's a lot of people in my studio a lot of times and people. I think a lot of people think they're all volunteers, but I actually pay people that help me like constantly.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't think it's fair for them to just help me for no money
for
now.
No pay.
At this, if I can pay you, I'm going to pay you. You know, after paying off my assistants, after all the materials that I bought, after all the gas, after all my expenses, the month of January, February, March through April, I made 12 cents an hour.
Hijo de la chingada, güey.
That's how much I'm getting paid to make my art.
Fuck.
Okay.
That's
and that's because that's partly my fault because I put in the work. I work minimum 12-hour days.
This is the nature of your work. Like, it requires a lot of fucking things.
So now when people show me rooms and they're like, we want you to cover this whole thing, I'm like, well, the budget does not correspond with what you want me to do.
It's not equal, what you said.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm learning. So I want to share all that information with this installation course and, like, really get into the nitty-gritty. And then also, like, physically, I want to show them, like, how to make whatever they want. Because a lot of times I walk into these places and I really don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I love problem solving and I just like to figure it out.
Are you going to give them, like, readings and stuff like that, which is mostly practice?
That's a great question.
I already have ideas, so if you want anything, I will give you homework.
I think it's both of my classes are studio, so there's no reading, but I am gonna recommend some books and stuff that have helped me, like, price things out and stuff for my installation class. Yeah. All right. And what are you teaching this fall?
So I'm still at UIC for another year and I'm teaching my usual Latin American colonial art. This year we actually started getting into Peruvian art. And there is an amazing collection in Chicago, the Tomas, that have an amazing collection. They open to my classes. So we learn about 16th, 17th, and 18th century Peruvian art and we get to actually see it. And it's not only just go in a museum and see a couple of paintings. We go to the collection, we go to the vault, they pull the paintings for us, and I get to discuss different trends and topics of Peruvian painting. Peruvian painting and Peruvian art is something that always interests me, but I've never had the time to really get into it. So it's something that I'm starting to push. I want to do Filipino art too, because it's part of the colonies.
Yes.
I want to do more Caribbean, but I mean, it takes time to develop some of those ideas. So hopefully I can integrate some of that stuff and Brazilian shit. There's some amazing architecture there. And then I'm putting together a grad seminar on landscape painting. People don't think landscape was a thing in the colonial period.
Mm.
But we're going to the Newberry Library. We're looking at maps. And we're talking more. The main idea behind the class is to talk about the development of the empire through landscape. And landscape, I mean, not only just like horizon line, foreground, and background. I mean maps. Mm. I mean travelers' journals. I mean ideas about what do you think of the wild, the wild frontier. So we're going to look at westerns. We're going to look at cinema. We're going to look at 19th century journals of the first time that Mexico was open to the public and you could come in. So we're going to look at all of that stuff. And I'm making it as I go. And I'm also directing two directed studies, and one of them was on melodrama. So we're going to look at melodrama and visual culture in Mexico. So I'm really excited. It's a lot of fucking work. But all of this is, when I do my classes, I do it in a way that I can do the research for my books, but also I can teach this stuff to my students.
Yeah,
so,
that's the best.
Yes.
That's smart.
But yeah, so landscape and Latin American colonial art. So anybody's interested, yes, have it.
Awesome.
UIC. You have any recommendations before we go?
I do. And I mentioned it at the beginning, the library app that I use, mm-hmm. Libby.
Oh,
y'all,
that's right.
That shit, I've already recommended it once, but me and my friend Lola, shout out to Lola from Lola's Cocina. We're always exchanging books through Libby because it's the fucking best app. And, you know, there's always a workaround or like a bootleg way to like get more out of something. And you know, us Latinos know how to do that shit. So you can actually put multiple library cards on your Libby app and check out all the audiobooks and then all the digital books from that library district.
That's brilliant.
So here in Las Vegas, we have the Las Vegas Library District. So I have them on my Libby app.
Right.
And then I have the Henderson, which is the neighboring city library. Mm-hmm. And so I got a library card from them. And so I have their whole collection on my phone. I went to New York a couple months ago. And I got Thomas to shout out to my friend Thomas who got one of his art pieces collected by the New York Public Library.
Damn,
so
good
it will
for
be
him.
Forever
Love
archived.
Thomas. Shout out.
And so I'm like, bitch, you haven't seen your work in the library yet? Like, let's go. So we went to like the New York Public Library, like
Beautiful. The
main one with the lions, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't even have a library card. And I'm like, yo, you better get a library card right now, and you better believe I was just like paying attention to his pin, and I put it in my phone. And so now I have access to all the New York Library collection on my fucking phone.
That's amazing.
It's awesome. So get the Libby app. I actually have a music recommendation this week, too. I've been listening to Flying Lotus's new album.
Oh.
It's called Flamagra. Flamagra. It's really great.
He's amazing. From L.A.
Flying Lotus, this album has so many collaborations. Solange is on it. Kendrick Lamar is on it. Anderson .Paak. I think David
Lynch. Yeah, he's legit.
David
Lynch. He's amazing.
It's such a great, great album.
I also have music recommendations.
Dale.
Again, if we're still in Pride Month, if not, fuck it, celebrate Pride all month. Give a shout out to Songmess, one of our favorite podcasts
talked
about them. They have a playlist called Songmess Pride. Everything from Chavela Vargas to Alex and Wanter is there.
Yeah.
It's a great way to celebrate, but it's also to show that gay music is fucking amazing, and it covers all kinds of different corners of human sexuality. So, and it's, I think it's pretty much all Latinx musician and Latin American. So again, the playlist is called Songmess Pride. Shout out Richard, always making badass playlists on Spotify. If you don't know him, follow him in Songmess in Spotify, and also Richard Villegas, always updating his playlist, and also follow my playlist that I've been adding music as I'm recommending. So you know that I will be adding more stuff. And my playlist is called Babelito Recommends Songs to Fall in Una Vis de pasión, así que ya saben, pónganse a hacer su tarea, cabrones.
All right, and as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Please leave us a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people.
Today's episode was produced and edited by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. The music you're listening to now is by the band Brownout. I'm Fabi Fab.
I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.